Well, welcome to our service tonight. If I haven't met you before, my name is Tom, and it's great to have you with us here on this Sunday just before Christmas. Before we come and look at our passage in Luke, so if you have your Bibles, please open it to Luke chapter 2. We'll be particularly looking at verses 25 through to 35. So have your Bible open there, but before you have a look at that, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that each year we have this opportunity to think again about your Son Jesus coming to earth. We thank you that it's by your grace been so ingrained even into our society that even as our society turns away from the Christian faith, it's still there to remind us that you have intervened, you have sent your Son to earth to do something, to be the Saviour of your people. And we thank you for this great miracle. We pray, Lord, that you would be here by your Spirit as we look at what your Word says. Lord, without your Spirit, this is just empty words, and so we pray that you would be here, speak to us, speak to each one, work in our hearts that we might meet Jesus tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder what's on your bucket list. Maybe you have just one thing that you're waiting for before you die. Maybe it's that dream holiday off to Europe or America or something like that. Maybe you just want to meet that special someone. Once you get married, then you'd be happy. Maybe you want to see your kids grow up. Maybe you want to be a millionaire. Or maybe you just want to see that amazing landmark, wherever it might be. The purpose of a bucket list is to make us think about the fact that one day we will kick the bucket and to make sure that we plan so we can die without regret. Somehow advocates of the bucket list think that if you just tick off all the things on your list, then you'll be able to lie on your deathbed with some smug satisfaction knowing that you haven't failed at life. You've achieved something. Well, we should all want to die in peace, shouldn't we? It's a really important question to ask ourselves. If you were to face death tonight, would you be able to face it with peace, without fear? Have you ticked off all the things on your bucket list? What would you need to see to be able to die in peace? Well, tonight in our passage, we meet a man named Simeon, who had a very short bucket list. He just had one thing that he wanted to see before he died so that he could die in peace. And he had the added benefit of being told by the Holy Spirit that he would tick off his bucket list item. Look at verses 25 to 26. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon's bucket list was to see the consolation of Israel. It sounds like a familiar bucket list item, doesn't it? Some sort of landmark, like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, the consolation of Israel. But that, of course, is not what the consolation of Israel is. Consolation means comfort or encourage. It turns out that the consolation of Israel is actually a person. God had promised the Israelites over and over again, ever since the Garden of Eden, all the way through to now, where we are in our text, the New Testament time, God had promised the Israelites that he would send a person to comfort them. And God's chosen comforter would do this by saving them. That's why the Holy Spirit assured Simeon that he wouldn't see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. The consolation of Israel would come when the Lord's Christ, or the Lord's chosen one, the Messiah, would come. The Christ, the chosen one, would save God's people and comfort them. This is what Simeon was waiting for. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine being him, waking up each day? Maybe this will be the day that I see the consolation of Israel. Each time he hears about something strange happening, oh, perhaps that's the consolation of Israel coming. Perhaps this is the Lord's Christ. What would you expect Simeon to see? If you were in his shoes, you were waiting for the consolation of Israel, you'd been assured you'd see the Lord's Christ, what would you be expecting to see? Perhaps you'd be looking for someone raised up into a position of political power, a new official with a bit of charisma, someone who's willing to shake things up and get things changed. Or perhaps you're more the revolutionary type. You want to find a warrior who works outside of the system, some sort of religious Batman. If you heard about someone going around fighting the Roman soldiers, seeking justice for the Jews, stealing from the tax collectors and giving to the poor, that would get you excited for the consolation of Israel, wouldn't it? That sort of thing sounds like the Lord's chosen one. But Simeon doesn't get to see any of these things. This is what's so remarkable about the Christmas season, really, if you think about it. Christians get excited. In fact, the whole world gets excited, not because of a great political leader who emerged on the world stage, but because of a baby. It's so unusual. If you think about all our celebrities, no one really cares who they are when they're a baby. You have to be old enough to do something before anyone cares about who you are. But Simeon gets what he's waiting for in the most unexpected of places. The baby Jesus is presented to him in the temple, and he's finally happy. He's seen the consolation of Israel. He's seen the Saviour of God's people. So what is it about this baby that gets Simeon so excited? What is it about the baby Jesus that gets Christians so excited? Why do we have Christmas? Well, let's let Simeon describe this amazing baby for us. He holds the baby Jesus in his arms, and then in verse 29 to 32 he says this: "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." I want you to notice here that Jesus is God's salvation. Jesus is not a part of God's salvation. He's not a part of the puzzle. He is God's salvation. Simeon says, "I have seen your salvation." Everything's wrapped up in him. I used to play basketball, and one season, we had the dad of one of my fellow players as our coach. I distinctly remember one important game when we had a few seconds left on the clock. My team only needed 1 point to win, so we were behind by one, and the coach called a timeout and called us all together. He was going to tell us his plan of salvation, how our team was going to win. And he gathered us all around, and we're standing there expectantly, what great game plan he's going to come up with. And he says, "Pass to my son." That was the plan. Yeah, he was all about teamwork, that coach. "We don't want any teamwork here. Just get the ball to the coach's son, and we'll all be all right. He'll sort out the rest." I don't remember how that plan went for my basketball team, but I do know that when God makes his plan of salvation, he's very similar to my coach. God's plan is Jesus, his son. Jesus is how God's people will be saved. There is no teamwork in God's salvation. If you want to see God's salvation, look no further than Jesus. But why do we need salvation? Why would Simeon need to see God's salvation before he could die at peace? Another way of saying this is, what is it that Jesus saves his people from? Well, when God created man, he made him at peace with God. Adam and Eve used to walk in the Garden of Eden together with God in close relationship. But when Adam and Eve sinned, their relationship was broken. Adam and Eve had broken it by declaring war on God, essentially. They didn't want God to rule their life, they wanted to rule their own life. Sin is cosmic treason. It's declaring war on God. And all of Adam and Eve's descendants, except for one, have followed as soldiers in the human war against God. Every time you choose to not submit to God, every time you chase after what you want to do instead of chasing after what God wants you to do, you are fighting as part of this army. Because God is God and because he made you, he is your rightful king. And so because we chase after sin, there is no peace with God. This is why you will not be able to die in peace without a saviour. Because to die, as Chris prayed, is to face God and to answer for your treason. It's appointed for man to die once, says the Bible, and after that, the judgment. Now, you might be thinking at this point that I'm trying to ruin Christmas. Isn't this Christmas? Why am I talking about bucket lists and death and war? Well, we're talking about death and war because they're realities. You can't just have fun by ignoring these realities, even for a season. It seems to be what we like to do. We like to come to the holiday season and fill ourselves with good food and a time away and sort of forget about reality for a bit. But we all know that it's just delaying the inevitable. At Christmas time in World War I, I think it was in 1914, on the front line, there was a ceasefire between the British and the French and the German soldiers. You might have heard of it. It's very famous. In some parts of the front line, they stopped their fighting and they crossed over no man's land. They chatted a bit and shared some small talk, the Germans and the British together. Some of them gave gifts to each other. I read of one who cut off some of his buttons and gave them to one of the German soldiers, and the German cut off his buttons and gave them to them. In fact, some of them even played a game of soccer together. This looks like great peace, doesn't it? But it's not. It's an illusion. A few days later, the soldiers who were shaking hands were back to exchanging bullets and bayonets instead of small talk and souvenirs. What these soldiers really needed was peace, genuine peace. They needed the war to end. And so this Christmas, we need more than a small holiday. We need something better than a short ceasefire from the hard realities of our life, from the lack of peace that we have with God. We need genuine truce, genuine end of war between us and God. We need a saviour. Or another way, so we need a negotiator. We need someone who can go between us and God and clear our names from all of our war crimes. Our war crimes must be paid for. Sin must be punished. And you see, Simeon knew that Jesus is this negotiator. Jesus came to live the perfect life that you and I cannot and to die the death that you and I deserve so that all who have faith in him will receive the free gift of eternal life. He's the negotiator who stands between God and man and offers to take all the punishment that we deserve for our crimes, our sin. But he doesn't stop there. He offers to give all the obedience that we need to be counted as righteous in God's sight. And he does it all himself. He negotiates a peace with God that you and I need, but that you and I don't have the ability or desire to negotiate for ourselves. And notice also in our text that this salvation that God works through Jesus is offered to everyone. Some of the Israelites in Jesus' day thought that the promised Saviour would only save the Jews. But in our text we see that Simeon knew better than that. He read his Old Testament properly. Simeon declares, and he's riffing off Isaiah 49 verse 6, he declares that this baby Jesus will be a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles or the non-Jews and the glory of your people Israel. So this Saviour isn't just coming to Israel. Jesus brings light to all types of other people as well. What that means for you and me is that God's salvation through Jesus is offered to you. Here today, I have the best Christmas present in the world just for you. This Christmas present doesn't come in fancy wrapping paper. It comes in a baby wrap, a swaddling cloth. Jesus, the Saviour of God's people, the Prince of Peace, the great negotiator who has come to deliver peace with God, is today offered to you. So you need to revise your bucket list. You can scratch off surfing in Hawaii, meeting the Queen, and learning a new language from your list. There is only one thing that I pray all of you have on your bucket list, because it's the only thing that will enable you to die in peace meet Jesus like Simeon. Hold on to him like Simeon. Once you meet Jesus, you will be able to say like Simeon that you are ready to depart this world in peace. And there are many here who know what that's like, who know what it is to meet Jesus and be ready to depart in peace. It's not that your life will become perfect or that you'll never have any problems, but once you meet Jesus and put your faith in him as your Saviour, you'll find that all the problems you face in this life pale into insignificance in comparison to the glory of the future. More than that, you'll even start to see how your problems in life are working to draw you nearer to God and are working for your good. My mother-in-law's mum is on her deathbed at the moment. It's somewhere that we all will be one day, but she, in a sense, is fortunate because she's been on her deathbed for a couple of weeks. She can see her death coming. For some of us, death will come quickly. Our deathbed might be the car seat or the sports field. But my grandmother has a chance to consider her end. And this is really the test of a life. When everything's boiled down, when all the distractions and the entertainments, when all the temporary ceasefires are washed away, what will our approach be to death? Will we face it with peace? Now, my grandmother is a Christian. She's met the man Jesus. And so she, like Simeon, can face her death with peace, and she is. She's in pain, and she wants the pain to stop, but at the same time, she does not fear death. She's not worried about what will face her on the other side. I saw a video of her the other day singing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." "Can we find a friend so faithful?" she sang. And once she finished singing, she said, "I'm coming home to you soon. Soon." This is what happens when you meet Jesus. This is peace. Grandma knows that she has a friend in Jesus. She knows that because of the work of Jesus, she has peace with God. She's been declared righteous and acceptable before God because she's seen his Saviour. And so the war is over. And when she dies, she will face judgment, but despite her many sins, she will not be judged guilty. Instead, because she knows by faith the man Jesus, she will be judged as being on God's team. And she will be welcomed home. I'm not sure if she ever sat down and worked out what her bucket list was. I'm sure if she did, she would have missed ticking something off. But I know that she did the one thing necessary, to die in peace. She had her priorities straight. She got to know Jesus. And it gets even better, you know, because if you're at peace with dying, you'll be at peace with living. Because the pressure's off. You're free to enjoy this life because you're not at war with God anymore. You won't be looking for something out of this life that this life can't give you. You see, we write bucket lists thinking they will give us peace, but the things this world has to offer will never bring peace. We plan our lists thinking that we will find something that brings us joy and satisfaction, but we then find that everything in this life fades and nothing satisfies. The best meal in the world gets flushed down the toilet tomorrow. The most amazing experiences fade in our memory and are always tainted with some frustration or annoyance. They're never quite as good as we hoped they would be. The most amazing spouse or friend disappoints us. And we quickly discover they're not as amazing as we thought. Only when we meet Jesus do things fall into their proper order. When you trust in Christ and begin to live for him, life actually begins to be enjoyable. Many of the people here, again, who are Christians can testify to that fact. When we live for Christ, even the difficult things in life take on a different light. The Bible says that this way we can count it all joy, even when we face various trials. And if you'd like to meet this man Jesus, and discover this peace, the place to find him is in the Bible. Start with the Gospels, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and in them you will find God's salvation explained to you in the person of Jesus. So make this Christmas the Christmas when you complete the only bucket list item that matters. The only bucket list item that will actually enable you, like Simeon, to die with peace and to live with joy. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are a peacemaking God. You are a God who works of your own strength and of your own volition, of your own will to work out peace between us and you. We thank you that even though we're at war with you, you have come in the person of Christ to work peace in this relationship that we have with you. And we pray, Lord, that each of us will be trusting in Christ, each of us would meet Jesus and would be living for him, that we might face death with peace and live with joy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.